Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, NFL is back, which means fantasy football is back. In particular, the Fichtner Cup fantasy podcast segment. It's what we've all been waiting for. It's what we all live for. We probably just had the sloppiest draft of all time, hence the title of this week's pod, The Slop Draft. So we're going to be diving into some preseason rankings as we just drafted on Sunday. New team name reveals is always fun. So we're going to have some new teams, same players, but a little different mojos this year. So I'm going to dive into some power rankings. Some, you know, a little way too early power rankings, but those are always fun just to see where people lay on the map. But we're also going to talk some NFL, in particular the Chicago Bears, as the controversy between Justin Fields against Andy Dalton is rising, as Dalton was named the starter, but Fields really should be the starter. What will the Bears do in the first few weeks of the regular season? And we're also going to talk some MLB, as the playoffs are upon us. The Yankees have won 10 in a row. The White Sox, you know, the comfortable lead in their division, but, you know, with the huge controversy between Kimbrel and Hendricks, what will the Sox do down the stretch? We will dive in. Let's get after it. So before we hop into any fantasy talk, which I'm, you know, so eager to get to, as we all are, because that's all we care about these days, you know, especially as Bears fans, you know, as fantasy football, it's what keeps our motors going, it's what keeps us hungry, keeps us grinding throughout this, you know, the dark times of winter and early fall. But to the actual NFL, the Chicago Bears just came off a beatdown from their former quarterback. If you hear train tracks in the background, it's because I live right behind an L. So there's random, you know, every 15 minutes or so, loud tracks being heard. It's actually kind of soothing. But if you hear that in the background, that's what it is. You know, pretty uncontrollable from my aspect. But anyway, back to the Bears. Mitch Trubisky throwing for almost 230 yards, two touchdowns. First three or four drives, Bills score with, you know, Trubisky starting. Really sad to just see him come back. I mean, I know it's preseason, but really sad. I mean, the Bears lost, I think it was like, 43-6 or something. That was the score at some point. I barely paid attention to that game. I couldn't do it. You know, I just got updates. But it was just like, wow, you know, Trubisky, not that bad. Was it? So now the argument is, was it the Bears system that was bad? You know, I still think Trubisky's trash. Like I said, it's preseason. I don't really care about it. I think preseason is one of those things where it's so easy to just, like, commonly misconcept a team's performance. And I think it was just meant to be that Trubisky would come back, start over Josh Allen, you know, because it's the Bears and because it's preseason, and just, you know, lead the Bills down to countless touchdown drives. You know, we kind of had that coming. So it's comical in that sense, but it's also sad. It's like, wow, it's like, and who do we have to defend ourselves? The Red Rocket himself. I can't stand Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket. I can't. I wish we had Nick Foles starting. You know, the Red Rocket is so mediocre. You know, I mean, he just said last week, you know, Fields is a great quarterback, but it's my team right now. Of course he's going to say that. You know, it's what your starting quarterback should say. But it's so sad. It's like week one, we're going to be going out against the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football and have Andy fucking Dalton as our starting quarterback, with Justin Fields just, you know, on the sideline waiting to be put in. It's just going to be one of those things where it's like our home games, you know, are going to be the crowd cheering for Fields, trying to get him in, booing. It's going to be so sad. And, you know, of course, Matt Nagy will hop on the podium and be like, you know, I don't really care what the crowd should say. I hope they back our decision. It's going to be like, no, it's going to be like riots in the street if Fields doesn't get it. I mean, why wouldn't Fields I understand the concept of, you know, not putting in your rookie quarterback right away. But at the same time, Fields is like one of those quarterbacks where it's like, I mean, he's a top pick. Why not put him in right away? We're not in like, you know, and we're trying to win football games here. And Red Rocket, a.k.a. Dalton, is not going to get it done. I mean, you just know. There's no way he leads us to any sort of glory. And it just sucks that it's like, well, as Bears fans, we finally get a good quarterback pick, and we're just going to have to anxiously wait for, you know, either Dalton get hurt or, you know, him just to suck so bad that he finally puts Fields in. I'm calling this right now. Dalton is going to get hurt or something, or he's going to get pulled, and instead of putting Fields in, Nagy's going to put in Nick Foles. I mean, that would just be the most iconic, you know, most stubborn move. Nagy, I used to kind of like, you know, everyone would shit on him, and I'd be like, you know what, give him a chance, man, you know, well, no. I'm so tired of Nagy's BS. He's so stubborn. He's so like, oh, I'm just going to do it my way. No one, you know, no one's going to tell me otherwise. I'm the coach here. You know, I know what I'm doing, you know. The only reason he had any success is because he was on the freaking Chiefs with Andy Reid, who had the best offense in the league. And, of course, you know, Nagy talks about, oh, well, Homestead the whole first year. I don't want to hear that garbage. They also had Alex Smith, who was like a premier quarterback in the league, so they didn't need to put in Mahomes. The Bears don't have quarterbacks. They don't. They have Red Rocket and Foles, both past their prime. Fields is ready to go. Give him a chance to let it loose. Just, I'd rather see the Bears lose, you know, bad with Fields in. At least let's get some offense. You know, let's see some promise for the future. All I know is that the first week is coming up soon, and the Bears got me scared. I mean, their schedule is one of the toughest schedules in the league, of course, because we somehow keep making the playoffs with these shit teams, so we're going to be playing all the division leaders. It's going to be a weird year for the Bears, that's for sure. But if they can get Fields in, get the Red Rocket out, we'll be going somewhere. Ultimately, Bears, I don't know how many wins they're going to get. You know, everyone's saying, you know, I think the over-under might be like 7.5 or something. I don't know. That's a toss-up. I think they're going to be middle of the pack. Hopefully Fields comes in sooner rather than later, but we'll see. You know, nothing we can do here but watch. Just watch, baby. I want to talk some MLB playoffs real quick. So just as a White Sox fan, you know, this is the first time in a while that it's just been kind of weird lately. It's like the Sox are good, but then they, you know, they have these little internal problems right now. And their biggest thing right now, so the Sox have about a 10-game division on the Indians, or a 10-game lead in their division on the Indians. I don't think they're going to blow that lead. The Indians are not very good. They're right at 500. The White Sox, not really worried about that. But they are still looking for home field advantage for the playoffs, which will be, you know, first teams like Houston, Yankees, Rays. You want to have home field. Sox play really well at home, too. But it's just, right now, it's like, wow. We traded Nick Madrigal for Craig Kimbrel. And La Russa keeps putting him in the setup role. And I've been trying to back it up. You know what? I'm like, you know what? It's Kimbrel. He can pitch anywhere. But there's something, you know, he is not being good in the eighth inning. Last night was a prime example. Comes in 1-1 game against Toronto. And he ends up giving up a hit, you know, a leadoff. It was a leadoff single. And then they end up getting two outs. Guy gets all the way to third base. So guy in third, two outs. Wild pitch by Kimbrel. Bad wild pitch. And so Kimbrel, it was on him that scored that run. And it just gets to the point where it's like, wow, he definitely does not look comfortable in the eighth inning. So when do you... And Hendricks actually, besides the one game, again, in the Field of Dreams game where he let up those home runs, he has been very good in the ninth. So in La Russa's defense, like, why would I take Hendricks out, who's been great in the ninth, and put him in the eighth, and put Kimbrel in ninth? Well, it's because you pretty much sacrifice your future for this pick. So at some point, you're going to have to at least try putting Kimbrel in the ninth. I'm definitely on board with that now. Everyone's been complaining about it. I've been trying to back up La Russa for whatever reason. I don't know why. But I think Kimbrel should get a chance in the ninth inning. Now, he has not looked good in the eighth. He looks flustered. And there is a big difference between coming in with the game tied and then trying to close it out. I mean, he's been, you know, his whole career, he's made a living off closing the game with a lead. So there's a difference pitching with the lead, whether than, you know, giving up a run to, you know, to be down. So in Kimbrel's defense, it's definitely a different role for him. He's never been a setup guy. He's been a closer. So I think what you have to do is just try it. Try it for a game, putting Hendricks in the eighth, putting Kimbrel in the ninth. I mean, what bad can it do at this point? He's blown. Kimbrel's had about 3 or 4 bad outings now in the eighth. What harm can it do? Especially when you're up by 10 games. It's like, try some things out. You have some room to work with. But I'm tired of, like, last night's game against the Blue Jays was just, it was hard. It was hard to watch. You could just tell the White Sox were going to lose. You couldn't score any runs. Of course, and the Blue Jays bullpen is not that good. The Sox bullpen and pitching is, like, the best in the league. So you should not be losing those type of games to the Blue Jays. I don't know what the Sox are going to do. I'm not freaking out about the Sox. I'm all in on the Sockies. But it's just some things that, for the last month or so, Sox are going to have to look at, because come playoff time, you got to be on your A-game, got to bring it, because there's no way we're getting past an AL East team with, you know, frisky bullpen towards the end of the game. It's not going to happen. Teams are going to feast off that. So I'm all in on the Sockies. I'm just, you know, this is my time to, you know, voice my opinion. I'm agreeing, you know, my roommates especially have all been on the Kimbrel train, being in the ninth instead of the eighth. And so I'm finally transitioning over to, I think the White Sox should definitely give that a try, because what do you got to lose? It's Kimbrel, baby.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week. I'm taking shots at Tony La Russa. It's been a little while since I've gone after the man. He deserves it. I don't think he's done very well lately as a manager. Last Friday, the White Sox had a thrilling win against the Tampa Bay Rays in extras. And it was not thanks to Tony La Russa. In the eighth inning, Kimbrel was in. He was struggling, but he was getting out of it. He did let up a run. It was 4-2 in the eighth. Two outs, man on third. And this is the bottom half. And Tony takes Kimbrel out. The best pitcher in baseball. He takes him out. He puts in Aaron Bummer, who is, you know, he's been better as of late, but he's ultimately been struggling all season. Lets up 3 runs against, you know, for the Rays. They're too easy. They intentionally walked Nelson Cruz with, you know, it was first and second. Up 1 at this point, 4-3 after Bummer let up a run. And gives the bases loaded for Austin Meadows, Mr. RBI man himself. First pitch, single, go down 5-4. T.A. ends up hitting a game-tying home run in the ninth to save us. We win in extras. But it's ultimately, why are you taking out Kimbrel in that situation? You are, you know, Kimbrel was pissed when he took him out. He's like, what are you doing? Like, La Russa is just, he has all the power. And sometimes it's scary because he obviously wants to win. But, you know, there's days where he, you know, I'm also going to get off my chest. He has these, you know, getaway days where he puts in all these scrubs and pretty much just sacrifices a win, you know, just because he wants to rest his players. Which I understand, you know, you want your players to be rested for the playoffs. But then we're in win now mode. We're trying to get home field advantage. We don't have time. You know, you don't see all these other teams just taking days off. You don't. But, you know, it's Tony's old school style. I got to roll with it. You know, I don't want to keep bitching about him because, you know what, I've been loving the Sockies this year. But there are some, you know, some things I am concerned about. And, you know, his managing, it better be spot on by the playoffs. We're screwed, Tony. We're screwed if you screw us. So don't screw us, Tony. Please.
G-Force Spotlight of the Week.
My G-Force Spotlight of the Week. Went to an unbelievable wedding last weekend for one of my boys, Alex Sierra, a.k.a. Big Daddy, him and Jenna, who actually tied the knot last year during COVID, had their celebration this year, so all the friends and family were able to go. I went with my sexy girlfriend, Allie, who, you know, was a star of the show, honestly, was worried about wearing this, you know, this hot red dress. And she was, you know, she's looking up, you know, she was Googling, oh, you know, I heard that if you wear a red dress, you know, it makes you, like, stand out and people can get salty. I'm like, don't even believe that crap. Why are you Googling it? Everyone loved it, of course. There actually was one other girl that was wearing a red dress, you know, nothing compared to, you know, my girl's red dress, but, you know, everything was awesome. You know, friends that I haven't seen for a while were there. You know, it was on a really nice golf course, the TPC golf course, right outside the Quad Cities. So, you know, actually, like, you know, a very professional golf course. So awesome, awesome time. You know, stay at a nice hotel, living it up. So it was a good weekend. You know, definitely a G4 Spotlight worthy weekend. And I wish Alex and Jenna the best. You know, haven't seen them for a while as well. So hopefully get to see them again. And their two beautiful dogs. One of them named Winston because Big Daddy, big Michigan State fan, Cassius Winston from downtown. Bang, bang. What's the hang? My flick of the week this week, I'm taking it to an HBO classic. It's a show, The White Lotus. It's probably one of the hottest shows out right now. I guess I'm a little bit late to the party. Not too late. I think people are just starting to catch on. But it's the hot buzz right now. My parents actually recommended it to me. And then some of my friends, Mike Getz, has already watched it, loved it, wants to discuss. You know, once I've like, you know, he was like, I can't wait to discuss with you about this show. I've only watched two episodes, and it's basically like a 6-part miniseries. So there's 6 episodes, all about an hour long. But it's unbelievable. You know, it starts off all these different characters in a boat. They are going to Hawaii, you know, some for their honeymoon, some just for vacation. So there's like one family, there's a couple, there's a random lady. In the first 2 episodes, which is all I've seen, you know, everyone's just, you know, different things happening, so it basically just keeps taking it from like family to family, and they're all having their own problems. Of course, you know, they're all going to merge together somehow, which I don't know how yet. And you know, they gradually have, you know, the characters have been running into each other. But very intrigued to see how this plays out. I literally, it's one of those shows where I have no idea how this is going to end. You know, in the first scene of the first episode, so not a spoiler, but the first scene. You know, there's a dead body getting put into a plane. You know, you're not sure who that is. So you're just kind of like, well, who died? You know, who knows? You know, it wants you to think one thing, but really another thing's going to happen. So it's a big mystery. You know, it's funny. You know, a lot of satire in it as well. So very intrigued to see how the show ends. I definitely recommend it. I definitely recommend watching it with someone else so you guys can actually talk about it. It's one of those shows where, you know, you will definitely have different guesses or opinions. So amazing show. Only watched 2 episodes, but I know the rest is going to be awesome. Watch White Lotus. You won't regret it. So we are now finally here for the moment we've all been waiting for on this podcast, at least what I've been waiting for. The Fichtner Cup Fantasy Podcast segment, the best league in the world, sponsored by Coca-Cola, new sponsor this year. After having the sloppiest draft ever, I have never felt more sloppy and more sexy in my entire life. You know, people have been asking, oh, Riddle, when's the next fantasy podcast? When are we doing it? It's here. The podcast is here. Your future champion, the Sukun Saloons, are back. We're ready to take another ship from all these fools that I call my friends. But it's time to hop right into it. We have name reveals. We have preseason rankings. And I'm just hop right into it. So to everyone in the league, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with the rankings. I understand that. It's the responsibility I take as RMT that not everyone's going to be pleased. You can't please everyone in this world, especially when you do a draft 2 weeks before the regular season starts. I mean, how the hell am I supposed to know who's good and who's bad? I'm just going with the heart. I'm not playing favorites. Everyone thought I was playing favorites with Big Daddy last year. Big Daddy Ansh for 3, RIP. You know, I wasn't. I'm just giving the man the respect he deserved. I mean, look at where he finished. He finished almost last. All right, how much love can I really have given him? Everything, you know, who I'm rooting for to lose is the commish. You know, I'll get into that in a second. I am rooting for Luke Boyd to lose, as everybody is. Everybody should. I'm already taking shots at Boyd already. I love it. You know, he's just hiding away out in L.A., just laughing, taking all his West Coast players, already jerking off his team. It's like, Luke, what have you done? in the past years. You know, where's all your hardware trophies? Yes, you've had success in the past, but it's a new day. Don't talk shit before you get results. Okay? That's all I'll say. I'm also going to give a shout-out to Matthew Kleinhans for hosting this year's draft. Usually we go to Neely's, who's been hosting it forever. An unbelievable host. You know, countless catering, some Chipotle, Portillo's, wonderful back porch, and a screen. But this year we upgraded to a rooftop where we had probably the best barbecue I've ever had. I, of course, forgot the name. I asked for the name like three times and he gave it to me. I forgot. But we catered barbecue. We had baby back ribs, coleslaw, brisket, onion rings. The onion rings are fire. I don't know where those came from. But I'm going to be horny for weeks for barbecue. Let's just put it that way. But unbelievable gathering. It was sloppy. As I said, the sloppiest draft we've ever had. But we got the draft done. And let's get on into it. To the preseason power rank. So how's this going to work? I'm going to start from the top at number one. I'm going to give the name reveal. And then I'm going to go through that player's team on why I picked that team where I picked them. So let's hop into it. At number one, ladies and gentlemen, at number one, we have Mike Nasser, a.k.a. McGee's Human Centipede. He's going for it again this year. Had a rough year last year, Mr. Nasser, not making the playoffs. I don't believe he made the playoffs. If he didn't make the playoffs, he was a low seed. I don't think he made it. But regardless, it was a rough season for McGee's. He's back this year, had a pretty unbelievable draft. Drafting Alvin Kamara, Davante Adams, Josh Allen, Chris Godwin, who fell late to the seventh round as us idiots, you know, as we do an offline draft, forgot about Godwin. Allen Robinson, little Washington D. Nasser's team looking sexy to start the year, deserving of the number one slot. Now, before we go any further, next week on the pod, I'm going to go into matchups. I'm not going to go to week one matchups yet because it's just too early. I can't get too horny this early as we're 2 weeks away. So I will do the preseason rankings today and I will explain, you know, I will go through each player's or each team's, you know, players and why I picked them where I did. But I'm not going to go into week one matchups yet. I don't want to get myself and the league too horny. At number two, we have a new team name. We have Matt Kleinhans, a.k.a. Cat's Conundrum. Oh, baby. It's getting after it. It's getting wild. What a name. What a freaking name. Took the league by storm. Mr. Barbecue Sauce himself. Drafting Christian McCaffrey first overall. You know, with having the first overall pick. Then going for Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Dak Prescott, DeAndre Swift, little Big Bob Tanya, little Miles Sanders in the flex, and little Patriots D. I love this team, especially if Dak Prescott is healthy. He got him late. I like Dak. And I like Miles Sanders in his flex. He projected 13 points. It's a hefty flex for week one. So love where Kleinhans is standing. You know, he's ready this year. He's confident. You know, he's ready to take, you know, after ordering all that barbecue, he deserves a little love. So definitely number two worthy, Matthew Kleinhans. And number three, we have the Sukun Saloons, a.k.a. RMT himself, Alex Riddle. We're going for another championship this year. The Saloons are back. No name change necessary. All right, we wanted Aaron Jones first round. We wanted him. We didn't get him because Mr. Luke Boyd's slime bag took him right underneath my nose. Apparently, I was talking early. I wasn't even thinking. I was just chilling. All of a sudden, he takes my guy. I don't even know how he did it. So we got Nick Chubb first overall, which I'm fine with at six. You know, he's going to be sexy. On the wraparound, we get Antonio Gibson, who's going to be a dog this year. He's going to be a dog. Both those guys projected 14.3. I'll take that out of my running backs. I think Gibson's going to tear it up in D.C. I think the football team is a legit threat this year. with Fitzmagic. And I love me some Antonio Gibson. We then wrap around and get Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones as my receivers. Atlanta X receivers now having their own teams. Ridley staying. Julio making his new ground with A.J. Brown in Tennessee. I like that combo between Ridley and Jones. If they stay healthy, it's going to be a dangerous receiving core. Very high ceiling. I like that. I'm willing to risk it for those two. Then for quarterback, we have Mr. About That Action. Sorry, Lebo, had to steal one from you. But Lamar Jackson coming to the saloons where he belongs. If he can avoid the COVID, he's going to be sexy. We then have a little Deontay Johnson in the flex. Awesome receiver last year for the Steelers. Kind of had a breakout campaign. I know it's a little crowded there with Juju and Claypool. Not worried. Deontay was the one scoring all the touchdowns last year. I believe he'll do the same again this year. And a little TJ Hockenson at tight end. He was, you know, not my first tight end pick. You know, I wanted Waller earlier. I didn't get him, you know, and the tight ends were, they're a little slim this year. So, you know, we got Hockenson late, but I like Hockenson. You know, projected 9.2. He was very good last year. He's going to be on a garbage Lions team, which worries me. That means a lot of garbage time for TJ. They're going to be thrown into TJ. It's not like the Lions have stacked receivers. So Hockenson's going to be the guy. I love his long hair this year. He's just letting it flow. Let that hair flow, boy. And then a little Buccaneers D. Little Buccaneers defense, best defense in the league. Super Bowl defense right there. And to finish off, a little Younghoe Koo for the win. Again, sorry, Lebo, for stealing your coup. Had to be done. But Alex Riddle coming in at 3, defending champion, looking to take the league by storm once again. At number 4, we have another name change here. It was Big Daddy Ange for 3 for the longest time. He is now off the board. As I said before, RIP, Big Daddy. Mr. Kyle Coughlin, we got Bocce's Curtains. I can't say the middle part. I can't say it. I can't say it on the pod. But Kyle Coughlin, a.k.a. Curtains. Call him Curtains this year. He's loving himself some curtains. And he's looking to make some curtains himself. He got the number 2 overall pick, Dalvin Cook, who's a dog. Dalvin. Then comes back and gets Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's going to be a dog on the Chiefs. But here we go again, jerking off curtains. You know, I can't help but jerk off curtains a little bit. You know, what's wrong with some curtains? Then he got a little Darren Waller action, took him right underneath my nose. I wanted some Waller. He probably wasn't going to follow me anyway at 6. But Darren Waller is his tight end for his receivers. Robert Woods, Tyler Lockett, two very solid receivers, both with sexy quarterbacks, and Stafford going to L.A., and Russell Wilson staying our receiver, taking it to his quarterback, Russell Wilson himself. A little Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett combo. So I like that. You know, getting that receiver and quarterback double points, a little double stuffed. Looking sexy over there. And Chase Edmonds in the flex, you know, going to be the starting running back in Arizona with James Conner and you're right behind him. So Chase Edmonds should be balling out in Arizona by any injuries. And then a little Justin Tucker, 49ers defense. Nice little way to finish it for Curtins, Mr. Curtins himself. I know I kind of miss Big Daddy for 3. So if I say Big Daddy for 3 sometimes, it's just because I'm horny. But Curtins, nonetheless, the new team name. Gotta love yourself some Bocce's. At number 5, hurts me to say this, we have a new name change. Mr. Luke Boyd, the commissioner. It was pretty funny when he came out and said that, you know, he just wants everyone to know that he is the commissioner. Like, who cares? You know, who cares that you're a fantasy football commissioner? Why does it matter? Why do we give this man our money year in and year out? I don't know why. But he has a pretty good team. You know, he'll argue that he should be the best team in the league. He always does. Boyd never satisfied with his ranking. But right now I have him in the playoffs. So he's just be satisfied that I have him in the top 6. So Mr. Steeler himself taking Aaron Jones at 5, right underneath my teeth. My skin, everything you want to say, my balls. I don't know what it was, but he knew I was going for him, took him. Then gets Jonathan Taylor on the wraparound. 2 good running backs right there. I'll give him that. He then gets Adam Thielen and Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, such a safe pick. I mean, such a basic pick for Boyd. I mean, it's a fine pick, but even when he said he's like, oh, I'll take Cooper Kupp. I mean, he didn't want him, but he took him. So I'm not super high on Cooper Kupp, but he is a dog. Gets injured a lot, though, so we'll see how he performs in L.A. this year. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good with Stafford, you know, slinging the ball. So the Thielen Cooper Kupp combo is good. Kittle at tight end, sexy. And now James Robinson at the flex. Travis Etienne, I'm sorry, big ticket. You know, probably out for the season, so James Robinson sliding right back in to the starting running back in Jacksonville. So that's a very good flex play. Justin Herbert, a sexy late round pick. So yeah, I guess Boyd seems pretty good. You know, maybe he's higher than five. I don't know. He's staying at five for now until he approves me something. But Boyd's team, unfortunately, coming in good. Rounding out with Broncos D and Jason Sanders. Boyd's team will be a force. You know, the commissioner always is in it. You know, for the amount of shit that he gets, he can back it up. But you know what? He can't always back it up. He thinks he can back it up. We'll see how you do this year, Commissioner. All eyes are on the commission. At number six, we probably have the riskiest draft, you know, could have the highest ceiling or could bust. So a little boomer bust here for Mr. Minneapolis Mike Caputo's Nick Fornato, keeping the same name as he always does. Love that name. Such a good name. Really good name. You know, MMC, you know, we take it for granted how sexy his team is. I'm also going to mention Liam McFarlane. You know, Liam, not getting mentioned yet. Liam, probably the most active member in our fantasy chat, even though he doesn't have a team. But he is part of the Minneapolis Mike Caputo's team name. It's in writing. So, Liam McFarlane, shout out to you. I hope you're listening to this. We love you. You know, he wants us to draft out Montana. Maybe we'll do it one day. You know, it's kind of tough to get all the boys out in Montana. But, you know what? Maybe we will, just for you, Liam, for being as active as you are in the chat. But so going to Nato's team, goes for three straight running backs. Or actually, I don't know if he goes for three straight running backs. I could be lying right here. But he got Saquon Barkley. All right. He has Kelce for tight end. Daryl Henderson as another running back. CeeDee Lamb. McLaurin. Kareem Hunt in the flex. I don't like that because I got Nick Chubb. L. Ravens D and Greg Zuerlein. The reason I say it's a risky team because CeeDee Lamb, you know, they're predicting that he's going to be like the number one this year. We'll see if he can. You know, it all depends on Dak. If Dak gets hurt, he's screwed. McLaurin, you know, unbelievable. You know, he's the clear number one in Washington. But, you know, Washington's always weird with the passing game, I feel like. You know, Antonio Gibson steals the show, so we'll see where that goes. Daryl Henderson just had a hand injury, but apparently not serious. A sprained thumb, I believe, so he should be okay. And Saquon also, you know, always risky with his injuries that he's had. The past couple seasons, he's screwed everybody that's taken him the last couple of seasons. So we will see how Saquon performs this year. If Saquon performs, you know, and Jalen Hurts at quarterback, you know, nice, young, sexy player right there. If his young guys perform, you know, Nato has like that team where it's like all young guys that just produce so much offense. If they go off, like, you don't want to play Caputo's. But if they start slumping, it's going to be a tough year for Caputo's. You know, not an extreme amount of depth on the squad, but I do like the player. You know, all his players are big-time performers on the field. So, boomer bust team, but I do like it. Nato always taking one of the riskier teams, which is why I can't, you know, give you the top three spots right off the bat. You're going to have to work for it, but I respect you, and that's why I have you in the playoffs right now at number six. I know you don't mind that at all. At number seven, on the outside looking in, we have Mr. Ethan Holman, a.k.a. the Krusty Clams this year. Can't say the first name, explicit on the podcast. I probably shouldn't have said the Conundrum's first name, but I had to do it because it's just so funny. But the Krusty Clams, coming in at seventh, you know, Derrick Henry, dog. Kyler Murray, dog. DeAndre Hopkins, dog. But then it gets a little risky here. He has J.K. Dobbins as his RB2. You know, he'll argue that he's the best. You know, he's so good. But Dobbins has a lot to prove. You know, Baltimore is a weird team. You know, with Lamar quarterback, you know, he's, you know, running the show a lot. Dobbins is a stud, but we'll see how much, you know, he produces. You know, will he be, you know, a reliable running back down the stretch? We then have DJ Moore, who, yes, he's the clear-cut number one in Carolina, but it's Carolina. There's something about those shit teams. Just you're like, will that player produce? So it's just like, I can't really get off to that. You know, I can't really get going myself to DJ Moore. Which takes me to Mike Davis in Atlanta. Yes, he should be the starting running back in Atlanta. But it's the Falcons. You know what? I can't talk because I have Calvin Ridley. But Calvin Ridley's a dog. He gets his no matter what. Mike, it's a little bit for running backs. Mike Davis, I had him last year when he was on Carolina. He subbed in for McCaffrey. He was a dog. Ruff. But Mike Davis, you know, how will Atlanta do? How will, you know, will they be scoring? Or will they be throwing interceptions? So a lot to do on the Atlanta offense right there. If Atlanta's producing, Mike Davis will be a steal for Mr. Homer, which will obviously make him higher in the power rankings. And you know what? Logan Thomas, very good tight end at the end. I like that pick. I think Logan is a good late rounder, especially if you're looking for a tight end. But Holman, you know, you'll probably be like, of course, about seven. I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, that's what he always says afterwards. Well, you said yourself, you barely, you know, Holman, I will give him this. He makes the playoffs every single year somehow, but it's not pretty. So don't be surprised that you're at the seventh spot right now, Holman. You're there. Prove to the league that you belong in the higher rankings and you will go up. At number eight, we have a new name change here. Mr. Luke Lieber, no longer about that action, but now Boyditos Mussolini's, which is an unbelievable name. At first I was like, Mussolini, you know, he kind of had to help me through it. I was like, what the hell is that? But the Mussolini's, you know, not sure on the Mussolini's. It's a low ranking. You know, he came in second last year. It was the Saloons against Bout That Action. And right now, Mussolini's, Austin Eckler, Najee Harris. So Najee Harris, if he produces stud running backs, he has it. But I don't know. It's hard, you know, relying on that rookie right away. And then you got Keenan Allen, Brandon Ayuk, who are both very solid. I love Ayuk. It's just like San Francisco, also a weird offense. I'm not sure who's going to be a quarterback. Is it going to be Jimmy G? Is it going to be Trey Lance? Keenan Allen, very solid wide receiver. Tends to get hurt a little bit. Tends to have some injuries that could, you know, hurt him down the stretch. Kyle Pitts at tight end, another rookie. So relying a lot on the rookies right now. Chris Carson, great running back, injury prone. So if you look, and then Tom Brady at quarterback, Bills D, Rodrigo Blankenship. This is not a bad team. But the reason it's so low is it's so uncertain. I don't know yet who's going to produce. You know, injuries-wise, are they going to be healthy? Lebo, your team is not bad. You're probably not deserving of an 8. I just don't know. It's with those rookies, it's hard for me to tell if they're produce. And I'm just going with myself right now. Don't take it. You know, Lebo is my guy. I hate putting him at the 8th spot. It's where you are right now, Mussolini's. It's nothing. You know, it's 2 week early power ranking preseason. Don't take it personally. You're my dog. Roof, roof, roof. But yeah, the Mussolini's are at 8 for now. You know, if anything, if I have you low on these, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I would love that. I am here doing my best in these rankings. Come at me. I can take it. I can take it. At number 9, we have another name change. We have Mr. Big Sam himself, a.k.a. Tetez. I refuse to say the first part of that name. I will not say it on this podcast, but I respect the hell out of it that you made the name that you did. It makes sense. It's personal now between me and Tetez, and he knows it. And he's coming from this year. He brought the fire this year during the draft, but at the same time, Tendency Coon team. Okay, Zeke at running back. Then you got Joe Mixon, who's just gross. But at the same time, projected a fair amount of points. You got Stephon Diggs, dog. Mike Evans, dog, but, you know, inconsistent. Especially with that stacked Tampa Bay offense. Noah Fant, eh. You know, Iowa Hawkeyes, proud. But how will he do on Denver? I don't know how the Denver offense is going to be. I don't know who the Denver's quarterback is going to be. Is it going to be Teddy Bridge? Amari Cooper at flex, sexy pick, but it might be CeeDee Lamb show now. Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, I like. It was a late, sexy pick for him, but, you know what? No, there's no buts. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be good this year. There's no controversy there. It's just, honestly, he's getting older, so guess who's the risk of injury, but he never really gets taken down, so I like that pick. And then Bears D, Robbie Gould, classic Coon pick. Can't give away those Bears colors. We'll see how the Bears defense ends up this year with how bad their offense is. And at number 10, we have, last but not least, big ticket review, Nick Pastuovic, Dan Fernando's Vegas son. Tragically already coming down with a season-ending injury with Travis Etienne, so it automatically puts him down to the last spot. Based on his projections, he should not be 10, but he is going to be 10 here to start because he has been coming in last almost every year. His team this year, starting out with Tyreek Hill and DK Metcalf. I think he went way too early with Metcalf. Juju Smith-Schuster in the flex. I don't like that. I do like Montgomery at running back. But then he has Raheem Mostert now, so he's going to be struggling with a second running back. I don't think you can rely on Mostert. Patty Mahomes, no question about him. Going to be sexy. So he has some guys. Mark Andrews at tight end. Rams D. It is not a bad team ticket. It's not. But it's the second running back, and it's the fact that you stretch for Metcalf. I think that might hurt him down the stretch. Not a lot of depth on this team. I will say this. The Saloons do play tickets review first week, day after I was Vegas Sun, so we will see how that matchup goes. That's the only matchup reveal I will get. So you're predicted high the first week ticket, but you're still last because you finished last in the league. You keep finishing last, you know, and it just doesn't feel like you're doing your research. It doesn't feel like you're doing your research. I know you just moved to New York. You have bigger things in your mind. But the league's important, and you got to hit the flashcards. You got to hit the fantasy flashcards just the way it has to be done. So for right now, tickets at 10, and that's the way it is. So those are your preseason rankings right there. They're out there. I will take any of your criticism in the chat. You can ask me why I'm here. Ask me questions. I will be there for you. But I'm excited. This just ticks it off. I love that everyone was asking for the RMT review. Makes it that much better. It's going to be an unbelievable season. We're still a couple weeks away. So next week, we will reveal the first week matchup predictions and what we think on that. But I will not do that this week as the preseason review was enough. And we still have enough time before the league to talk about the matchups next week. So first official RMT Fichtner Cup Fantasy Podcast done. Can't wait to keep it going. Let's have a great season, gentlemen. And ultimately, fuck you, commish. We're all coming for you. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Fantasy football is back, which means the RMT podcast is back. The RMT segment, it's the best time of the year. College football is coming back as well. You can't ask for anything more. So enjoy the nice weather while you can. Because before you know, you're going to be locked inside watching football. And eating B-dubs till you can't breathe. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next week. Riddle me that. Out.